Welcome. Thanks for joining us on the Visit Julian podcast. I'm your host. My name is Robin, and this podcast is all about the small businesses and the events that come together to create this amazing place that we call Julian, California. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the show, and we hope that you visit us soon. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Visit Julian podcast. We are getting back in the groove and doing some podcasts on a regular basis. We have some new folks who have joined us in town. I say that sometimes when people lived here 7 years, so I'm hoping they're new. This is Ramesses from Free Thought Revolution here in Julian, and we're going to talk about exactly what Free Thought Revolution is, how it serves the community, and Ramesses, thanks for coming. Welcome.
No problem. So we are new.
You are? Okay, good.
We were afflicted by some of the housing crisis, and we came up to Julian and fell in love.
Yeah.
We were able to, for me personally, we got healthy after years of trauma and whatnot. It was a space for us to really breathe and also affect a better fatherhood on our kids. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, our wife just fell in love with the area, wanted to teach at the high school or the elementary school out here. This really fulfilled all of our dreams as far as being able to keep our family close, mm-hmm. maybe get some land and kind of spread our wings and just breathe.
That's great. Yeah, Julian's a great place. I've been here 20 years, just so that we can
Also, any secrets in need, okay, I'm coming to you.
I know, right? That's funny. I raised my kids here. Are your kids, you doing the homeschool thing, or are you doing the
public school thing? But we were able to find a school that we feel is really beneficial to both avenues. Spencer Valley, mm-hmm. And we have three, just had her birthday Monday, four, five, and nine. So even being able to keep them all together, and matter of fact, the five-year-old and four-year-old are in class together, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Now they get a whole different bond. So again, small town living,
yeah.
If you don't need the fast pace, is one of the most blessed things you can get.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For us, it was an adjustment, but we made it, and here we are 20 years later. One of my kids came back and bought a house here because he loved it, and the other one was like, I'm out. And so she lives down at the beach.
Not too far.
Not too far. Water. Yeah, totally. So Free Thought Revolution. I've listened to one of your podcasts. I've looked through your website. I guess one of the most exciting things that's going on with you guys right now is that you just received a very long name, but bottom line, an equity grant from the County of San Diego. I thought I'd remember it, but I don't, because it's like 12 words.
I don't remember it either. I say this. We got a grant and a contract with San Diego County, but it's something to do with the diversity, equity, and inclusion, mm-hmm. A branch that the purpose is and was specifically to find organizations that tend to struggle to get funding or mm-hmm. to get recognition for the things that they're doing, uh-huh. but that are doing really important things for the community specifically. So we're in a cohort with nine others, and they vary from birthing centers to community centers for the Arab and Muslim community to the LGBTQ Black Pride community, uh-huh. to ensuring that there's help and actual resources to individuals who were once incarcerated to getting real steps back on into their life, and even some that's more recreational, like Paddle for Peace, and making sure that we have individuals getting access and knowledge, mm-hmm. to not just the beach, but no, here, let's teach you how to surf. Let's teach you how to snorkel. So it's really getting people over fears and being able to really access things that were barriers beforehand.
That's great. And so I know, just because I live here, that you've done, I know two things that you've done. I'm sure you've done more, but the ones I'm familiar with are the flag football that you're doing, or did. I guess it's seasonal, obviously. And then are you still doing the dance classes?
So far in Julian, and for the folks that aren't local, Julian, mm-hmm. proper is Julian, but when we talk Julian, we tend to also kind of include Borrego, Warner Springs, uh-huh. Shelter Valley, and some of the outer lying
Shelter
areas.
Valley is Julian?
Well, I mean,
I say that because I live there.
Well,
so
they come up here more to do most of anything else.
But our zip code is 92036.
But yes, but we have a different zip. And basically, it's small areas, we have a larger community than mm-hmm. the landmass we'll talk about.
Sure.
But so we've done digital art. We did a literary program. The dance class is still going on. Mm-hmm. The flag football was seasonal.
Right.
That was an introductory seasonal. We're mm-hmm. bringing it back, actually, September 21st through November. And to make sure that the kids that are playing feel like they're actually more in tune with football, we were able to utilize and are now going to do it at Julian Union High School.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that's a really big thing. We're also working on bringing another literary club that's more available up here. And then our partner was doing a park a day uh-huh. with parents, mothers, and kids.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to try to bring that back as well. Right now, though, in discussing the grant,
uh-huh.
One of the first things that we're doing is we're actually in the process of securing land.
Great.
To ensure we can create a community space.
Mm-hmm.
From there, we want to make sure or reach out to and see if we're able to use students from Julian High, maybe even the junior high schools,
mm-hmm.
and have them come out and actually see real animals for the FFA program.
Uh-huh.
Have them really interact with some of the machinery or some of the garden and actually really get hands-on knowledge.
Sure. Uh-huh.
So now we have real movement. Now mm-hmm. we have real understanding. And then once my plan
uh-huh.
is within about 16 to 24 months after the community is set, we want to open up an actual community center in Julian
mm-hmm.
that would then bring about the rest of the programs that we have in line, from actual music production, mm-hmm. music engineering, podcast production, real dance instruction, just a myriad of different things mm-hmm. that now we have a place in one centralized area that can just give all these different accesses to the kids.
That's right. Yeah. Not in the underserved community. I found when we moved here that my daughter had dance classes down the hill, and I had to drive all the way to Ramona if I wanted her to have to be in a dance class. And, you know, I did it, but it weren't fun.
Well, it's really one of those things that is a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
In a smaller town.
Yeah.
And it's the difference between really the city and the town.
Yeah.
Is you just have more access
mm-hmm.
to much of the stuff because the population is much
right.
denser.
Right, the population demands it, yeah.
Otherwise, it's you have more space in the country and you have more access in the city. But the truth is, we wanted to make sure that we didn't have to drive down the hill.
Right, right.
You know, we're going to actually jump back into jiu-jitsu, mm-hmm. And then we're going to finish messing around with MMA just so we're staying healthy. But
mm-hmm.
our focus is jiu-jitsu because we've heard that there's a strong need for some martial arts. And through a connection and a partnership with the MMA gym down there, we're going to be able mm-hmm. to try to open up one up here, and that'd be something again that we're trying to do within that 2-year period.
That's great.
So it's all these different
things. It's a lot.
It is, but that's, we feel that is what we're supposed to do.
Right, yeah. Like, I mean, we all do.
We're parents.
The successful people are the ones who do the hard things. Yeah, just, you know, as in my motherly advice, because that's what I do with everyone, whether or not they're younger or older than me is irrelevant, is, you know, baby steps, you know, pick one, accomplish it, because sometimes you're trying to do 20 things.
And we feel and we definitely will continue to embrace that, and it's what we're doing now. So Free Thought started as a result of George Floyd.
Okay.
And seeing and interacting with a number of individuals whose every single one of them, consistent question, Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool, so what do we do?
Yeah.
And, well, why are you asking? Well, obviously I know why they're asking me, but what do you think we should do?
Yeah.
And the response was also very consistent. Well, Black Lives Matter, and for us that was a failure.
Yeah.
Because if your message, in its strength of trying to make a brand that is recognizable, doesn't also carry what we want you to do,
right?
Then we're still failing in what we're trying
it's
to get across.
Yeah, it's words as opposed to action.
So, I have to share though.
Yeah.
After 34 years of living as a Black male, mm-hmm. watching 85% to 90% of every entertainment piece fed to me being, my life didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
That was a pivotal moment to see it. Big block letters, oh shit. Sorry for the language.
No, sorry. I cuss
my,
this thing.
My life, my life matters, and yeah. it's a different recognition.
Yeah.
But we also have to grow. Mm-hmm. We have to evolve. We have to change. And this is where free thought specifically came in. Is mm-hmm. my oldest son, 9 years old, blonde hair, blue eyed.
Mm-hmm.
Not my genetic son, but he my son.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as he'll be able to walk around at 6 years old when that happened, and or five, I think. I forget, it's been so, yeah. you know,
yeah.
but he's not going to process it.
Yeah.
He's not really going to intellectually process it. And I can't have my son think I love him any less or any different mm-hmm. than I do any of my other three.
Yeah.
And I don't care that I want to show pride in my other three. My other three better learn that I love him the same too.
Sure.
So we created Humanize Us.
Yeah.
And that was the purpose. It was the purpose of having these hard conversations mm-hmm. that everybody says we need to have, get at their tables, get all ready, sit down, and they start talking and go, you know, I'm not really ready for this. Let's mm-hmm. let's have it another time.
Yeah.
Well, no, we need to have them.
Yeah.
But we need to have them in a manner that we're not dropping 15 to 30 second snippets that last forever as memes that come across social media in our lives as these blurbs. Oh, yeah, do y'all remember when that was dropped?
Yeah.
Because the context of the stuff we're talking about is bigger.
Yeah. Well, so and it's every day. I mean, you exactly, live it every day. Exactly. You don't live it in 30-minute snippets.
So it's
or 30-second.
Creating conversations where you're not going to hear the snippets,
yeah.
but you're going to hear the heart.
Yeah.
You're going to hear the humanity. You're going to hear so much so that maybe the next time you're confronted with that situation,
yeah.
your view changes from whatever it may have been to an inviting one of, you know, let me at least talk.
Yeah.
To see if I can't find some new information. Mm-hmm. And it's not about me, which is the best part of it, is it's in discussing with other individuals who have this lived life experience, whether it's that's what they've gone through their entire life or whether they've actually gone through these studies and have a doctorate or they're just, I mean, this is who they are.
Yeah.
So we've talked to retired police officers, we've talked to retired California Prison of Bureau officers, we've talked to doctorates, we've talked to cats who have been unhomed, we've talked
Did you just
to,
say cats?
Yeah, yeah, you know.
I love that.
Politicians, I mean, we've really ran the gamut, mm-hmm. and the conversations run the gamut, and mm-hmm. because it is not scripted, it is, let's sit down and have a conversation,
yeah.
and we're just talking. I can't tell you where the conversation goes because it's their life.
Yeah.
This is what they have done. So
yeah.
it's gone in different directions, even from stuff that I was prepared for and sitting down to talk to them.
Yeah.
But it's been a blessed experience because there's so much knowledge that we've been able to learn,
mm-hmm.
to be able to absorb, and to be able to start really seeing things that have even been off-putting to us in a different light and fashion.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So,
from there,
ain't nothing easy about that.
No, it's not. It's not. From there, we started doing Living Artistic Revolutions, which mm-hmm. were charities.
Mm-hmm.
We'd bring in individuals that were artists and have them submit art. We'd have folks come in and do spoken word or song,
mm-hmm.
And we would then sit down and do an hour or so podcast discussing a very, very real community affecting issue.
Uh-huh.
We did one discussing homelessness for uh-huh. most folks, but housing insecurity.
Yeah.
We also sat down and talked about virility or what it is to be a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, we made sure that a local nonprofit that was affecting and specifically working with that issue received all the funds.
That's great.
Because now we've had a conversation in the community with the community. We've identified this nonprofit that's doing all this work, and they've even got new answers as to how to solve it because we've discussed it,
mm-hmm.
and we've connected y'all.
Mm-hmm.
So the best way a community can solve its issues is not necessarily relying on some other entity or some other person or body. It's finding answers and connecting with them and then being a part of that solution.
Yeah, I totally
so,
get that.
Did that, and then our wife, Bree, felt unfulfilled
mm-hmm.
in all the podcasting and the other stuff because for her dream and desire was to really do all of this stuff art-wise and just community-wise with kids.
Mm-hmm.
She works as a special ed teacher, has been for years, has a master's in art. She wants to go and start doing art therapy because she understands how serious that is to affect the youth and being able to find their voice, mm-hmm. to be able to utilize creativity, imagination, but also to have an avenue of health, not just at that point in time, but throughout their life, because it's a tool they can carry with them.
Right.
So she wanted to start Creative Souls Arc, and that is specifically free programming for kids, starting with digital art, because that was her passion.
Uh-huh.
And we do that, or she does that, with iPads that we were able to procure, and sits down and teaches kids how to use Procreate. I think it's called Procreate.
I saw your little brain trying
Yeah.
So Procreate, that has other meanings.
For those of y'all that don't know, I walk around with a flip phone.
Right? I didn't see it. It's
if I need to go somewhere, I pull out a map and I start checking. I'm not a tech cat. Not because I can't. It's just I prefer the slow-moving sound of nature.
Yeah.
So knowing that we needed to do more than just digital art, so I've produced 3 plays, co-produced 2 of them and co-written 2 of them, actually. I wrote and produced 1. My 4th one's coming out next year.
Mm-hmm. And where do you perform these? Like within your community or on stage?
Oceanside Brooks Theater was for the first 2. And mm-hmm. then we opened in San Francisco, the International Arts Festival, with our play called Lake Walking, Revolutionary Talking. And then I went back up in Oakland just a couple of weeks ago to do it there.
I'm from there.
BAM Theater.
That's cool.
So
Cacher Valley.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm Alameda County girl.
So, and then we recently published in a collective anthology of poetry artists. So just like really, really big wordplay has always mm-hmm. been our thing. And, mm-hmm. and then just we're a nerd, so we stay studying philosophy and just reading all the nonsense books of gender, social inequality, and women that were in American women that were in America before 1619, just stuff, just so that the perspective that we have is more open.
Is large, yeah.
And when we sit down to talk, whatever bias I might have is, well, I read so much just nonsense that just filled me with real content and shared the culture that I'm open to more.
Yeah, cool.
So doing that, it was, all right, let's do some art too.
Mm-hmm.
So we're also going to bring in some literature, some poetry, which would expand then to being able to do spoken word, be able to do music. We're also going to bring in music production, music engineering, podcast engineering.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we can do sports. We are a two-sport professional athlete, won a national championship, helped coach a semi-conference championship a couple years ago.
Was this in the football?
Yes, football specifically, and then also mixed martial arts. I'm a blurred that could, really athletic.
Yeah.
So trying to make sure that all of the arts, the theater, the intellect, the fun, the drawing, is in a collective of places for our kids to access.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we're losing in schools is all of those.
I know, art, it's so sad.
And we can't necessarily put it back in the school. We can put it in a centralized place for our kids to access. And that's what we want to do. But knowing the importance also of our children knowing where their food comes from, and even giving them the tool to be able to grow it themselves, we want to incorporate all of it.
Yeah.
From being hands in the ground, dirty, playing, walking around, enjoying life, to, all right, one of the cohorts we have teaches tech. So, all right, let's teach you how to, again, this tech stuff's hard for me to talk about. What, it's the engineering or something where they create the pages and all that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Y'all can do that. Not with me.
Right. but that's the thing, too. Like, when you want to facilitate change or bring about information or activities or growth, it doesn't necessarily, this is something I had to learn, it doesn't all have to come from you. It's like you facilitate it. And, there are some things that I was approached to do in my life and I was like, ugh. And I had to refer them to someone else. And then great things happen. And you can say, okay, I couldn't do it, but I facilitated it. And that is equally important, because if without a facilitator, those two things, the cohort and the person in need, may never have come together.
Exactly.
So those are important. And
we've had the benefit of meeting some truly amazing individuals who are talented.
Mm-hmm.
And they felt that we were talented enough, if not, I guess, the same as them in our art form.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh yeah, we'd love to work with you. We'd enjoy coming out and helping, and especially with going to kids. So now we have a comic book artist and illustrator, two actually, that want to come out here and try to do some classes for some of the kids to really get them to, all right, here's how you can do and draw and illustrate comic books. Here's how you can write a comic book. And, well, here's my published ones that are all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really lovely thing is, while I don't feel my talent really matches all these other ones, because it's hard to see.
Sure.
It is respected enough that when I go and talk to these individuals and they see that I'm really talking to them and not the art, that they see, I'd love to help with what they're doing. So it's put us in positions to where now we're able to talk to folks that I can talk to you.
Yeah.
I'm a journalist. I have a newspaper that we've done, and I have podcasts, which means I talk a lot. That's it. So it's not really necessarily art unless you put it into a context.
Sure.
But I can talk and bring a community.
Yeah.
And that's really been my big
thing. Well, talking, though, is a gift because I'm a talker. I am the opposite, like, of my mother, for example. My mom has trouble ordering from the waitress because she doesn't like to talk. And I'll stand up in front of, as a PTO president, 500 people and just, talk. And I think it's a skill that many kids either, not that they don't have it, that they don't, it's not nurtured. It's not like, hey, you have a voice. And when my kids were in high school, I started a speech and debate club because these kids needed to learn how to present themselves, how to get a point across, how to share information. So I am totally on board with exactly what you're talking about. And having some experience in this community, these kids don't get the opportunity that I saw, to stand up and let their voice be heard. And I think it's important.
Well, that goes to a couple of things. Our belief is, philosophically and child rearing, we tell them, hush until you talk to.
Sure.
When they speak, it's no. And it's just kind of ingrained in them. I'm not supposed to be talking.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be sharing my voice.
Yeah.
And it's not, we're not doing it out of malice. It's, no. You need to do this, not that, because you're going to get hurt. We're trying to get them to understand that. And just because we're so geared towards, we got to keep you safe, we forget, we got to let you make some mistakes. Because if I watch everything, you really ain't going to figure it out when it comes time.
Yeah.
But then it also comes to change, like you were saying. Once we get older, I'm 42. I am a balding geriatric millennial that is very comfortable in my person because obviously I shared that freely, which means I don't need much change.
Mm-hmm.
And change, whether it be in presenting new persons or personage or presentations of events or just ideas, it can be overwhelming because no. Look, I got 42 years of being set. And I look to 43 confirming my setness. So the change can really be an affront because it can cause us to have this real anxiety about, all right, well, what's this change going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not the change itself. It's the uncertainty
mm-hmm.
of what that change is going to bring and how's it really going to affect what I have here. Because some of the comfort we have in our stagnance is, well, this has sustained me.
Yeah.
This is how I got through life.
I'm still breathing in and out.
And you don't know my story, so I don't want to try to have to argue with yours.
Yeah.
And we forget, again, right? We got to be more open and vulnerable because it's that community, and we don't know your story.
Yeah.
You don't know mine, so maybe let's go sit and have a drink or a tea or whatever it is that you decide you may want it to be to sit and partake. Like, look, you want to go on a hike with us? I'll tell you my story over a hike. We can go hit one of those preserves. We can go hit one of these trails. I'm a hike person.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll share my story. But we got to start making time to hear.
And today's society, even me, right? I mean, I have this job that's very demanding. And we take all of our information, like you were talking about earlier, in the form of memes or 30-second clips. Like, if I am on Facebook, for example, and I see this post, and it's got an interesting title and, you know, pulls me in because that's what their job is, right? And then I hit the see more button, and if it's really long, it's like, oh, hell, I don't care enough that much. I'm just going to go to the next quick post. Yep. And I hear and see everything you're saying, but I still do that. You know why? Because it's like on to the next thing, on to the next thing. So we know each other in clips. We know each other in what that other person shares. Yes.
Edited, photoshopped.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say.
How many different times redone?
Yeah. And I just for the record, all my friends listening, I most of the time do not do that. You can see me here. I'm not a makeup wearer. Sometimes if I have six chins, I will take the picture again.
But hold on,
in general.
So, something very few people know. Up until our performance in Black Rootedness, every single thing that we did was unscripted. Mm-hmm. Every performance, podcast, every single thing, completely unscripted. So, if you saw us at Palomar's Women's Her Story or Kiwani's Oceanside performance or Cultural de Centro de I butchered this every time. The center, the Cultural Center de la Raza by World Beat Center, anything that you might have seen us on, it was taken from just massive research.
Mm-hmm.
For the bus ride home, we read 2.5 dozen books. Listen to a dozen oratory speeches from King to Reagan to Nixon to X to Gandhi to Coretta Scott, Ashada Shakur. I mean, like, just the gamut.
Mm-hmm.
Plus a couple graphic novels, interviewed about 6 people, and then listened to a few different, or watched a couple different documentaries.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2.5 months, did that, and then I sat down and performed for an hour. Mm-hmm. Off the top of my head.
Yeah, that makes the most real, honest, and imperfect, which is, I think some people need to see more imperfection, because like you said, edited, photoshopped, retaken until it's perfect to put out to the world. And then the kids feel like they have to edit, censor, what have you. You know, I sent my daughter a little meme video just yesterday. And it's a small thing, and she and I discussed this morning. It's not a new concept, but when your daughter, because now she has a daughter who's 2 months old, sees you putting on makeup, and they ask you why you're putting on makeup, you should say, "I'm putting on makeup to be fancy, not I'm putting on makeup to be pretty," because you want to accept. I know this is small beans to what you're talking about, but it's the root things that start. Like if my daughter is overweight. She's been, it doesn't matter why, but she's been overweight since she was born, basically. And I will tell her to this day she's fat. And people go, "How much did you say about your daughter?" I said, because I raised her with truth, and that being fat and being beautiful were not mutually exclusive. You could be fat and beautiful. And consequently, she's 29 now and honestly believe she's a goddess. And I did that.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Uh-oh, guys, it's not good?
Here's how where we do our podcast. I gotta interrupt here. I'm sorry.
Did I do something wrong? Am I in trouble?
You didn't do anything wrong except for in the execution of a couple pieces of language.
Okay.
So, everything up until the point of she's 29 and she honestly believes.
Yeah.
She don't believe. She knows.
Okay, cool.
It has been confirmed. Yeah. 28 and some odd plus 9 going on 30, yeah. Right? She is set in her knowledge, and it's not a false knowledge.
Right.
Because you are correct.
Yeah.
And it's not just something we can say is misogynistic, but it is in a very large way. But I know that my scrawny self, looking all of 130-something pounds,
right.
Maybe,
yeah.
Is not necessarily sexy, because I don't look like G.I. goddamn Joe, right? So it goes both ways, and it's just a society we've given not just our children, but we even cling to and hold on to the idea of what is supposed to be beauty, because
right.
We think perfection.
Right.
And that's actually the basis in why we go into the conversations we do is because those things are based on some sort of division.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you're pretty and I'm not.
Yeah.
Well, then that gives you a little bit of authority or position or this and that.
Totally.
And it's not something that is just this huge systemic ingraining, because, I mean, some of it's just, I mean, that's how we view things.
Oh, yeah.
It's We're just imperfect beings. And we continue to put those imperfect things in front of us. Now, we can discuss the other aspect of that later, because, you know, there is that aspect. But for us personally, we've got to start having a little bit more confidence in ourselves.
Yeah.
And I shared a quasi-sermon, air fingers, but not air fingers, with my brother, called I Hate My Neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a short snippet, and it was like, I hate him. I hate that cat. Mm-hmm. Everything that cat does, the way they talk, the way they move, how they just got so much flavor. I hate that they can go into a crowd and just start talking to people.
Yeah.
I hate that all these people like him. I hate that their house is nice. I hate everything about that cat, because I wish it was me.
Right.
And that's really so much of how we view the world is
we
forget that it's okay to have that, what folks will try to identify as envy, but it's not necessarily that. It's that, ooh, that's cool. Sometimes folks got cool stuff.
Yeah.
You know, when we were kids, wait. Billy got cards? Billy got cards in his tire spokes, everybody. Billy, hey, mama, that's cool. I need it.
Yeah.
But we've let it get to just a gross manner later in life, to where now we're using that in manners that define how we treat them.
Yeah.
And instead, we go talk to them. How'd you get that, folks? All right, how you hook me up? Like, we forget. We can go ask Billy, Billy, you got any extra cards?
Yeah.
Hey, Billy, where'd you get the cards? Like, we've created this block of this individualism because we forget, well, you know, Kareem was my friend, you know, last week. I still couldn't come to my birthday party because, you know, I couldn't have that lollipop that was the last one he had in his pocket. But, you know, he's really my friend. Let me go back. So stop holding these small grudges and continue to hold the humanity.
You know, it's funny because as we're talking here, it starts to bring everything that we started talking about in the first 3 minutes of our podcast together, because when you show kids art, you give the kids the opportunity to speak, you teach kids an athletic sport, they grow up to be stronger, smarter, dare I say that term, more well-rounded, accepting, accepted kids and human beings, right? I mean, that's what it's all about. I did, you know, I may fall down and somebody grabs my flag every damn time I get up, start running across, but the point is perseverance, right? You keep going, you keep going, you keep going. And by the end, it's really not even about the flag football anymore. It's about, I didn't give up.
And that was why we named the league Fun Flag
There
Football.
You go, yeah.
And with a PH. Because, right? See? Even as an adult, when you see PH and you're like, wait, that's not how you spell football, but that's still fun.
Yeah.
Because we wanted to make sure that every aspect of it was embedded with, this is just fun.
It's just fun.
So we went and utilized the National Federation of Flag Football 8-on-8 man, and we took their rules. I've edited it because, so we, like you said, it clicked, the purpose of what we're doing.
Yeah.
So I'm a philosophical, I'm saying that again, I'm a philosophical psychologist. Like, that's who we are.
Yeah.
I just use words to kind of express what we're thinking.
Yeah.
And most of my career has been working in group homes of level 14 or above, which meant that if you can't,
I know what that means personally.
If you can't make it in this program, you get shipped out of state to a lockdown facility where they can put you in a padded room.
Yeah.
Non-public schools, rehab facilities. I did some before and after school programs, but my life has been social service with kids.
Yeah.
And I got tired of being a part of the answer instead of creating a solution where there's never a need for that answer.
Right, right.
And I saw the importance of, so a personal tip, and this is why it really sunk in. We're a survivor of child abuse as well as a domestic violence survivor. And through all of that, one of the biggest things was we never had an outlet.
Mm-hmm.
We never had a voice. So we saw the importance of creating a space for children to have confidence, not just in I can go play football, but no, look, let's teach you how to really play football and then make sure you know it's fun. Let's also make sure you know that here's the smart stuff too. Let's teach you how to do comics. Let's teach you how to write a comic, because that's writing a story. You want to dance? Good. Let's go do some dance.
Yeah.
Let's give you a rounded avenue because maybe you don't like football. Maybe you like soccer. Well, go play soccer with JYS.
Yeah.
They have a wonderful program.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to do art with us instead.
Mm-hmm.
Perfectly okay. And it needs to be free.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we start putting up barriers for kids to access, it means we're telling some kids they should and some shouldn't.
Yeah.
And the only thing we should tell them is, do you want to?
Yeah.
And then from there, this is where it changes. And this is the two things that are pivotal in creating children who are accessing these programs and actually getting all of the benefits that you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
Is one, well, we got to make sure that the leaders that are running the program are actually there for the benefit of the kids.
Yeah.
That they are there to really instill and teach, not just the kids, but to understand that every moment that they're teaching these kids, that's at least 1, 2, 5, oh wait, there's 12 kids out here? 12 kids that are teaching you.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta be receptive to that because they are trying to inform you of, hey, wait, this is a better way. We got this, teach us this way.
Mm-hmm.
Or, well, we got that, but we don't quite get it. And if we're yelling at them, then they're going, you know, football's not for me.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I don't know if I want to do this literature anymore. I don't know if I like being yelled at while I'm trying to write these words. They need to be reinforced.
Mm-hmm.
That even that failure, the imperfection,
mm-hmm.
is okay. Yeah, look, that's fine. I got you. Yes, I'm doing this wrong. Here, come here. I hear what you're saying. Show me how, because maybe I don't think I'm getting this right.
Yeah.
Put ourselves in a position of humbleness and really start letting them to teach, because then they now have that real self-authority,
yeah.
that self-confidence,
yeah.
that not only can I know something and can teach my friends, but sometimes I might even have an idea that could help here.
Mm-hmm.
And then the biggest thing is, it's not the parents that are in control. So even I'm not really in control. I'm leading and heading, you know, because I have all those different things that I've done. And then I'm also a Level 3 accredited coach with the National Federation of High School Sports.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a fancy way of saying I could basically walk onto any high school team and coach their team because mm-hmm. I have the proper training and accreditation.
Uh-huh.
But it's about giving the high school kids or the older kids in the community that understanding and authority.
Because mm-hmm.
we keep telling them, hey, you better start doing this right. You're about to become an adult.
Yeah.
But we're not showing.
Yeah.
And we're not giving them the authority to even enact and then help them grow from those mistakes.
Yeah.
So for the Fun Flag Football League, the high school players, the high school students, which any of them, anybody that's interested, come out, teach.
Yeah.
So you get community service that you can put on a resume for college,
right.
or even a resume for a job. And because we actually have that much knowledge, we're actually going to share enough that you can go walk on to a real program and go coach.
Mm-hmm.
So you have two options. Maybe school's not for you. Maybe I want to go do this. And it's the same with any of the other programs. We're bringing in folks that are really understanding and professional with this. So maybe you want to come in and you want to do art. Cool. We can have you do all the art you want to do. We can teach you all the fun art. We can show you how to present it. And then we can have you go do a show.
Mm-hmm.
So there's different avenues of success for individuals. And we have, again, through the benefit of what we do with our words, mm-hmm. we have connections to the Brooks Theater in Oceanside, the World Beat Center in San Diego. Go ahead.
Sorry.
The Cultural de Centro de la Raza.
Hey, look, you got it right.
Yeah, I'm getting it. And then even a number of other places that we would need to talk to, but
mm-hmm.
believe because of the relationship and what we've been able to provide so far, plus mm-hmm. that we're partnered with the San Diego County through that wonderful grant.
Yeah.
That look here, they're doing this. Yep, come on in. And so it's a benefit. And mind you, so my personal profession where I actually get paid mm-hmm. is the mic ceremonies, is mm-hmm. the facilitating events and mediating conversations.
Mm-hmm.
I use that to help free thought.
Mm-hmm.
I have 4 kids. I know the importance of it. I make sure I can take care of the stuff I need to at home, but any excess here, because if it's not funded by us in the community, it's not going to.
Mm-hmm.
So even with the grant, or I'll put it this way, thus far I've put over $100,000 of my own money into creating these programs,
mm-hmm.
creating the access and all of this stuff. While we've actually been dealing with housing insecurity ourselves.
Sure.
And it's not taking care of home. I know how important those programs were because those programs really helped our kids.
Mm-hmm.
while we were struggling with that life reality. Mm-hmm. So making sure they were there, that helped them a lot. Because sure. They saw that we were still working through it, and that while this wasn't the best situation, this was exactly what we needed, because it was giving us, even them. Like, mm-hmm. they went from kids not wanting to really necessarily have all these animals. Well, now we have 13 chickens, 4 dogs, 2 cats. We have 15 more on the way, and they're... Mom, I want goats.
Wait, 15 more cats?
On chickens, the way. Chickens, yeah. No, 15 more chickens. Nope, me either. Two's good, two's good.
They're not litter box. They're real big
enough. And the dogs and the cats are still fighting, except for the puppy. So, mm-hmm. like, it's just chaos. Yeah. But they are all protecting the chickens. Mm-hmm. So we are good with eggs. Yeah. But, you know, the kids are begging. They want goats. They want mm-hmm. sheep. They want all these turkeys, ducks, and all this stuff, which is amazing, because it's not just to eat. It's I want to go out there and take care.
Yeah.
I want to go out there and share and have fun. So our kids are experiencing what so many of us old geriatric millennials are talking about, where, man, there's no place for our kids. Well, now we're closing in on a place that we're not making ours mm-hmm. for our kids and for our marriage, but ours for the community mm-hmm. to make sure that kids, this is what we quote-unquote own. Mm-hmm. But look at what we're doing with what we own.
Right.
We are ensuring that it is a shared prospect.
Yeah.
We are sharing with the community, because our abundance should be shared.
Yeah.
So it's really a twofold thing that we're doing that is one of the best things I've been able to see, because my kids are so giving.
That's so great.
So loving and are so protective. So... it's exciting that all of this stuff that we're doing is really just in line with who we are mm-hmm. and the passions we have as being a father and a partner to our wife.
Yeah, yeah.
And creating space for everybody, but especially those that don't normally have access.
Sure. So, as far as the Julian community and such, I know that you guys have a couple, or maybe right now just one, but I know in the past it was both with the football. We have a community calendar on mm-hmm. our website, and you guys can put all of your classes or offerings and performances and such on that. And the reason why I bring that up is because if those who are listening want to know how to find you, you know, at least they can go to our calendar and see some of the things that you have.
For events that we'll be doing locally in Julian, we'll be starting them back up mid to late September. Mm-hmm. We especially know as mm-hmm. parents of faux young kids.
Yeah.
That, school's starting? Look, I need a couple of weeks to kind of get recalibrated to this, because my kids don't waking up on time. And we wanted to make sure that you did that without the stress of trying to then go do extracurricular activities.
Yeah.
So breathe, and then the dance class is coming back, the football's coming back, mm-hmm. I'm still going to create a literary program, like we said, and try to see where the best space for that is. And then I think we are doing a digital art is coming back at some mm-hmm. point as well. Mm-hmm. Right now, there's no plans for any larger events, because we're trying to secure that home community space.
Yeah, you got to start, start where you start, right?
Well, that and we're also speaking. Our play is coming out next year, and that's mm-hmm. going to be a big focus. And mm-hmm. then we have an album that's going to be coming out. So a little bit of personal ventures. The podcast itself is actually going to start coming back, and so is our journalism. We're looking to try to do some articles on the sports teams for the high school, because we feel it'd be very empowering for them mm-hmm. to see their faces and their names mm-hmm. in a real formal publication that can be shared and across the nation and world to say, mm-hmm. hey, look, here's what we're doing. Even our small town gets real coverage. So just continuing to try to give back.
Told you, something always makes a noise.
So, but that was basically saying, I got to round up. It was saying the same thing I always be told. You're talking too much, Rob.
The copying machine was like, dude, take it down.
Osario E Studio 2515 AC. We done.
Happens every time, I tell you. So, in our show notes, we will have a link to your website,
freethoughtrevolution.com.
Right.
The podcast, Free Thought Revolution, you can find on pretty much most, if not all, podcasting platforms. Mm-hmm. There's some episodes, I think, that are older that we put on our website, but We did a lot in a little time, and, mm-hmm. and we needed to reformat some stuff. Mm-hmm. We're going to be bringing some back soon. We're very meticulous and neurotic, and we don't feel quite...
That's so funny. I'm nowhere near that. It's like, whatever.
We don't feel quite ready to mm-hmm. share. So please give us some grace with that. And then for Creative Souls, again, Julian Chamber of Commerce calendar, and then just freethoughtrevolutions.com will give you information for that.
Are you guys on any social media? Instagram or anything like that?
Instagram, I think Facebook. Again, that's the tech stuff.
I'll check it out. And that way, if you do, I always make sure I put links to your social media on there. And then I will bug you for photos, if you've got any photos that you can release of, you know, some of the things that you've done here locally, so that it has a local connection for those who might hear you.
Will do.
Yeah, and I was super confident in your name when we started.
Ramazes.
I would have had it.
But no, but you could stuck with Ram. I feel we close enough. You can.
Hey, that phone's
are
on.
Are you
dude.
Serious?
It is on. Do not disturb. No,
hey, see,
dude,
I'm talking too much. Talking too much.
It's on. Do not disturb. I hate technology. That's so funny. Mm-hmm. All right, well, thank you so much for coming in and chit chatting with us. Apparently, I need to answer the phone.
Yes, you do. There's a fire somewhere.
That's funny stuff.
Thank you, and thank you for those of y'all that listened and tuned in. We hope you the rest of your experience at whatever time you've mm-hmm. been listening is a blessed one. And take a moment to breathe. And know that you are confident in yourself.
There you go.
You might not believe it, but that's because you ain't taking that breath yet. Mm-hmm. So Ramazes Satek, Free Thought Revolution, making sure I speak out and help represent for Bree Harris. Y'all have a blessed one. We
Thank
out.
You. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of our podcast, Visit Julian. This amazing background music is played by Nathan James, who often performs at different venues throughout Julian. Check out our website, visitjulian.com. You can see an event calendar or just browse all the great things there are to see and do. Thanks again. Until next time.